Right now, we're joined by Mark Dorison, Chair of the Orange County Board of Commissioners, here in the studio to wrap up the week. How are you?
Oh, I couldn't be any better.
Any better because you're here? Any better because it's Friday? The sun's out,
Well,
finally.
All of those
All of
things.
Those
all of
things.
Those things.
Yeah.
I always like to say that, and you know, people generally take it in the spirit that it's offered, that it's, I'm trying to be optimistic. But occasionally, there's people who say, "You couldn't be any better, really. This is as good as it gets."
Yeah, that's the pessimistic look at optimism.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
So, Orange County Commissioners had a budget work session yesterday to keep that conversation going. What did you discuss?
Well, yesterday's budget hearing was focused on education, so we got updates from the two school districts and also from Durham Tech on their budget requests, a little more information about what they're looking for, and then the other half of the hearing was dedicated to the county's outside agency funding. That's the money that the county provides to nonprofits that are doing, you know, public service, community service work in the county. And last year we decided we wanted to increase the total amount that we give to those outside agencies because so much of the work they do not only meets critical needs of residents, but it's also work that the county cannot do or isn't able to. So I was very happy to see that Bonnie Hammersley, the manager, included that increase. And also this year developed a real good process, sort of a systematizing how we analyze the requests so that we can be sure it's done in the most fair way.
What are some of the agencies those funds go to?
Oh, there's, you know, there are arts groups. Mm-hmm. There are groups that are doing work with around mental health issues. Groups that work with children, groups that, you know, sort of group them by subject area. And so, groups that do housing, so folks like, you know, empowerment and, you know, groups like, and Habitat for Humanity, groups like that do just sort of direct service, like a Helping Hand and Senior Care of Orange County, Meals on Wheels, all the types of programs that really fill table, you know, that really fill the gamut of social service needs that are beyond the local government's abilities to take care of.
Yeah, and in some cases, services that the government might be able to provide, but you've got this organization that already exists that is doing a really good job that, you know, you don't want to duplicate the service when you got this organization that's already doing it, right?
That's exactly right. And one of the things we talked about is, you know, one function that the county brings to the table is helping coordinate groups that are doing similar work where, you know, there may be some synergies and to avoid duplication so that we can make sure that the county is effectively covered geographically and that different demographics are being served.
What's next for the budget discussion at the county level?
Next, we actually get next week off, which is fantastic. but then the next set of meetings are really the meetings. They're a series of work sessions where the board will dig into the meat of the budget. We'll hear from different departments about what's in their budgets and what those needs are, and then really look for are there things that need to be shifted around either priority wise, or are there items that we think need more funding or need less funding, or, you know, things that can be moved around? And that's what we'll be taking the county manager's recommended budget and tweaking it based on what we've heard from the community, from residents, from interest groups, from our partners.
If you're listening out there, you can look at the county manager's proposed budget online and continue to follow this discussion. OrangeCountyNC.gov is the website, so you can get it there. Speaking with Mark Dorison, who's the chair of the Board of County Commissioners, and while the county budget debate is going on, state budget debate is also going on. Senate passed its version end of last week, right? Is that
mm-hmm.
what
yes.
it did? I'm losing track of weeks, but the House is debating its right now. So how closely are you following what's going on in the House?
We've been trying to follow it closely. You know, there have been reports from different subcommittees of the budget committee, and certainly much of what happens in the counties is dependent on what happens in the state, particularly around education. So as we were discussing last night, both school districts have, you know, a prospective pay raise that they're estimating based on what the state legislature will do. The Senate's proposed budget is a little less than what both school districts have targeted. Well, I think the House is probably going to be on that point is going to be closer in line with the Senate than with the governor's budget, which was more generous around teacher pay. So those, you know, the challenge is always when will a state budget be adopted?
Yeah.
By law, the county budget has to be adopted before June 30th, you know, before the end of the fiscal year. And if the state budget hasn't been adopted yet, it may be necessary then to go back and tweak because we found out, oh, they gave more money to schools or less to, you know, school facilities or to any of these other state, local, you know, mutually funded projects.
So are you making assumptions on the county level about what the state is going to do? Is that what you have to do?
To a certain degree, yes.
Yeah.
You know, you start with the governor's budget and the, you know, now we have the Senate budget. And again, we're hearing some things from the House. So, and then other issues that impact the budget, some of which are already resolved, like the whole classroom size thing was going to have a huge budget impact. If all the schools needed to have smaller K through three classes. So having that resolved for the moment, at least, it's kind of pushed off for a year. That was helpful in helping, you know, get some more detailed, cemented numbers. But we're always sort of watching what's going to be happening there. We've got this impact fee legislation is still out there. We don't know what's going to happen with that. So that, you know, if that passes, that'll affect the budget dynamics as well.
And there's a provision in the House budget that would remove the cap on light rail spending at the state level, which would be huge for Orange and Durham counties. But that same thing was in the budget last year and got negotiated out. So are you following that one closely?
Of course, you know, we're very hopeful that that would pass. Certainly the biggest challenge when we were going through the light rail struggle was the fact that the state had pulled back in its money. You probably know this from being a newsman and following this along.
You're about to say something that I had no idea about. I guarantee you.
You're too modest. You always hear about there are things that get put in the proposed Senate or House budget that are in there as negotiating tools, right? The House that put it in there doesn't expect to have it, but they want something they can give away in the negotiations. And so it's always tricky to know, is the light rail cap something that's in that pot? You know, there was some folks who were saying when the Senate proposed to cut $3 million from the law school, UNC Law School, there was some hope that that was another one of these negotiated pieces. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you continue to hope for the best and, it's tricky because we're represented by three Democratic legislators, Representative Meyer and Insko and Senator Fushi. And we know that a lot of the budget negotiations happens exclusively by Republican leaders. So.
Yeah. Speaking with Mark Dorison, again, orangecountync.gov, if you want more information about Orange County government. Let's go up a level because
sure.
I know you're with the Civil Rights Center. So let's talk about some Supreme Court decisions with some pretty significant relevance for civil rights, including the redistricting decision that just got handed down, which, again, on a district map that isn't in effect anymore, so not an immediate impact on North Carolina, but a big deal for the ongoing legislation and possibly also this Wisconsin case on partisan redistricting, which is the one that I'm keeping my fingers crossed on.
Wisconsin case really has the potential to change everything.
Yeah.
That one is unlike the North Carolina cases, which are about race discrimination in gerrymandering. That one is about partisan
gerrymandering.
That's right.
Yeah.
The really fascinating thing about the North Carolina case is, as you pointed out, the specific case that the court ruled on, which was a congressional map that we're not using anymore.
Mm-hmm.
What's compelling is that the same arguments that the state made to defend those maps are the ones they've made to defend the state legislative maps. And so those cases, which are in the pipeline, could potentially, I mean, if the court shakes out the same way, could potentially mean really substantial change for the local, for the state legislative districts, because we are still using maps that have been declared unconstitutional. Those have not been redrawn. So.
Yeah. And that one of the two decisions was an 8-0. I mean, we always talk about the Supreme Court as being like four liberals and four conservatives and Kennedy in the middle, and we have a tendency to think everything's a 5-4, 5-4. This was unanimous, and a lot of Supreme Court decisions are.
That's right. The one not to take the case was unanimous, and the one that just came down was 5-3 with, interestingly enough, Clarence Thomas joining the four liberals.
So that isn't even Kennedy. I mean, there's rumblings that Kennedy is about to retire, but this wouldn't affect that.
Don't say that out loud and invite that demon into the room. Mm-hmm. That's a frightening prospect for progressive politics and lawyers. Yeah.
Speaking with Mark Dorison again. So what's next for that? How closely are you? I know you're watching Wisconsin closely. What is the status of that right now? Is that up to the Supreme Court now?
It is. I think they're waiting for a decision on whether they're going to take cert or not.
That's what I thought, yeah.
And I think the other two North Carolina cases are in that same pot
exactly
now.
So
it's possible. They usually announce their cert decisions. That's the decision as to whether they'll
take a case. Yep.
On Tuesdays. So maybe we'll hear something as early as, next Tuesday on any of those cases. You know, it's getting close to the end of the court's term.
Right.
So, hopefully we'll get decisions that those will be heard early next term.
Speaking with Mark Dorison again, Orange County Board of Commissioners, and I've got to let you go in a second, but let's bring it back down to local stuff because we've got a couple of really cool events happening this weekend. There's the groundbreaking for the Orange County Veterans Memorial on Monday, and I mentioned this earlier this hour, and you were talking about it earlier, the B1 band marker in Chapel Hill. So two pretty significant monuments to some great figures in local history.
It's really exciting, I've been thinking recently as this commissioner season winds down that, I feel like in local government we get so caught up in the details of the day-to-day and the budgets and running the county, which is critical, that it's really important that we step back and celebrate the really important things that have made the county such an amazing place to live. The historic dedication is going to be wonderful. It's a real reminder that we are not that far off from a time when segregation was legal and the law of the land. The Veterans Memorial is something that folks have been working on for a long time, and to see that project, start to move forward, have the groundbreaking, is exciting. And again, it is just a reminder of the social and cultural depth of the community. Mm-hmm. I had the pleasure of being at the Senior Center Direct Care Service Awards, the annual awards for the folks who do provide direct care services to our elderly, and it was another one of those moments where you just are reminded how important the that everyone in the county is for the things they're doing to help each other out.
OrangeCountyNC.gov is the county's website. Get more information there, including the county manager's budget proposal. You can find out more on that at the website, too. Mark Dorison, thank you so much.
Always a pleasure, Aaron.